modern-day Iraq is at a particular disadvantage, being downstream from Turkey and Syria and the last to receive the river's waters. Iraq's water supply today is deemed inadequate to fulfill its needs, largely because much of it is polluted due to neglect. That's a problem to be addressed in any rebuilding of the country. Paul Sherlock is lead coordinator of the Water and Sanitation Unit for the United Nations Relief Operation, and he joins me from Amman, Jordan. Also with us is Tony Allen, a professor at King's College and director of the Water Issues Research Group in London. Professor Allen, let's start with you first. Can you trace the path of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers for us? What's the landscape they pass through before they empty into the Persian Gulf?
Well, the Euphrates rises in Turkey, as does the Tigris, but the Tigris receives significant water from Iran. This area of the Middle East, by the standards of the Middle East, is quite well watered. The total volume of water in that system is about the same as in the Nile, but it's in two rivers in this case. The problem with the water, or with the landscape, is that in the south, in Mesopotamia, where there have been thousands of years of civilization, the land is not very good. It's very saline, and combining water with it does not work the miracles that it does in other parts of the Middle East, such as Egypt. So we have a history of many civilizations, and some archaeologists argue that these city-states of the past ran out of resources because they could not manage the land effectively because it eventually became too saline.
So tell me, today water is really central for Turkey, Syria, and Iraq in this watershed. At what point did political tensions start to form over these rivers throughout history?
There was no shortage of water until the late part of the century, let's say until about 1970, mainly because Turkey had not thought to develop its water in the upper part of the basin until the 60s. Plans made then they built a big dam in the 1970s, and another in the 80s, and another in the 90s. The point at which they built those dams, of course, on the Euphrates, they interfered with the flow of that river. And they will eventually, and have done already through the filling of the dams, halved roughly the flow of the Euphrates as it leaves Turkey. And that means that there's been a dramatic reduction in flow into Syria, which has then to share the water further down with Iraq.
Paul Sherlock, I want to turn to you now. You're based in Amman, Jordan, and waiting to go into Iraq with humanitarian aid. You were recently able to assess the water quality and systems in the country. Can you describe the water system, the fresh water system for people as it exists today, as well as the irrigation? What kind of shape is it in?
I think to look at it today, you've got to look at it what it was like 12 years ago. 12 years ago, this country is not short of water. And because it was an oil-based economy, it developed 15 or 20 years ago a fairly sophisticated system. And the statistic 12 years ago was that about over 95% of the urban population and 75% of the rural population had piped treated water into their homes. Today, because of the war 10 years ago and because of the sanctions, that percentage in the urban side has dropped to about 92%, 91%, and in the rural areas down to about 40%. The quality of that water, despite the fact that it's, in most cases, it's gone through a treatment plant, the quality is fairly low. Now, this is a country which has 218 conventional-type water plants, and it has over 1,200 what they call compact units, which means that the compact unit, which is a small mini water treatment plant, is actually in most villages. Of course, after 12 years of sanctions, after the Gulf War, there was considerable damage to their power supply. Now, this whole system in Iraq totally depends on electrical power. This is not a hand pump or spring-type protection water base. This is a sophisticated system based upon electrical power. After the last Gulf War, they were never able to put back the power requirements in place, and for the last 12 years, they've been running about a third deficit on power.
With things deteriorated in Iraq, we hear that there's now more raw sewage, other forms of pollution in the water, and that with some of the troops massing along the Tigris River and firing artillery rounds, the military activity can't be helping water quality. What do you hear about how the present war is affecting water quality and infrastructure?
Well, I mean, the biggest concern of the things which are actually happening right now in Basra and in Baghdad, Nasiriyah, and other large cities, of course, this supply runs off of power. If the power goes down, then these systems will stop. People will then be forced to go to the rivers to take water for their drinking. And that's when we feel that health-wise, there's going to be a major, major problem.
How has water quality affected human health during the sanctions and now during this war?
It's very, very difficult to put a figure on it. What we do know is that from experience of the world, that, you know, that water is the key to life. It's also the key to death, because water is the transmission mechanism that carries a large proportion of infectious disease. Therefore, at the moment, we do know that the water quality is extremely bad. And if after this crisis we don't arrest that situation and get the water back together very quickly, there is a real risk of some very, very serious outbreaks of infectious disease.
Where are people getting drinking water now?
Well, they're getting drinking water still in Baghdad from a system which is still operating. In most of the cities, the systems are still operating. In places like Basra, it's down to about 40%. But there, the UN and to a degree the ICRC have partially repaired the systems in Basra.
Tony Allen, let me turn again to you. To what extent has the need for water played into the shifting alliances among Turkey, Syria, and Iraq?
Well, not easy to predict, but Turkey has a deep interest in the water. It wants to use more of it. It has made some sort of arrangement with the downstream states, which are contended by those downstream states, to provide secure water on the Euphrates, much less than it used to be, but secure water. So Turkey is in the strong position. It's the upstream state at this point in history. It is the hegemon. It has the strongest military forces as well as the strong geographic position. But it's very interesting, just going back to the last Gulf crisis, Turkey was encouraged by international bodies, or not international agencies, but certainly by those interested in intimidating Iraq, that they should interfere with the flow of the Euphrates, which they could have done to some extent, but they were very adamant that they wouldn't. So this indicates that Turkey, which has been very bullish in terms of developing the water and reducing the flow, recognizes that there are a long future ahead which Turkey is going to be relating to whatever political entities are to the south, and Syria and Iraq are certainly going to be amongst them. It's more important to play fair by them than even comply with what the United States would like to happen.
Tony Allen is a professor at King's College and director of the Water Issues Research Group in London. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And Paul Sherlock is lead coordinator of water and sanitation for the United Nations Relief Operation and also works for Oxfam International. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.